Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Lynn Scherr and for Celeste Headlee. And it's about 6 months away, but we're already focused on it, the midterm elections.
Yeah, and it's that, you know that song, What Goes Up Must Come Down, Spinning Wheel Got to Go Around.
Plenty of it. Blood, sweat, and tears going into the race for Congress this year. Mm-hmm. Republicans trying to regain some seats, maybe even a House majority. But what's going on? First, there was the defeat of three-time Republican Senator Robert Bennett in Utah on Saturday.
Amazing story.
Then on Tuesday, the 14-term Democratic Representative Alan Mullahan became the first House incumbent to lose his primary race this year, West Virginia.
And Arlen Specter,
yeah,
we were talking yesterday on this program,
yeah,
how he's having
just
trouble.
Just getting to it. Anti-incumbent fever. Okay, John Avlon is the author of Wingnuts, How the Lunatic Fringe is Hijacking America. That's the name of a book, and a political columnist at the Daily Beast. Hi, John.
How are you guys doing?
Morning. So, first of all, let's talk about the Bennett case. And I want to play a tape of, I was about to say the former senator. He's still the senator. Here's Robert Bennett.
The political atmosphere obviously has been toxic. And it's very clear that some of the votes that I have cast have added to the toxic environment.
John Avlon, what do you make of that? Is that what it's about? Is it about just voting in a way that upsets some of these folks?
No, I think it's actually the larger point is his first point, that we are living in a toxic political environment that is starting to consume politicians on both sides of the aisle in a rash of what I call rhino hunting and dino hunting. These are sort of party purists who are trying to run out anyone they deem a Republican in name only or a Democrat in name only. And in Bennett's case, what's significant is these conservatives chased out a conservative. Their objection was a spending bill, support for bank bailouts and his seat on the Appropriations Committee. But Bennett, by any measure, was a strong conservative. And the fact that he got taken out really means no one's safe this fall if they're an incumbent.
So it's about incumbency. It's about being tarred with the same brush no matter what?
It's about incumbency, and it's also about not walking the party line 100%. There is an ideological litmus test aspect to this rhino hunting we're seeing.
West Virginia Congressman Alan Mullahan do wrong?
Well, in Mullahan's case, I think it was primarily incumbency and the ambitions of other folks. There's a deep anti-Washington feeling and disaffection with the Democratic Party. But the dino hunting we're seeing is relatively new compared to the more fully evolved knocking off of Republican incumbents.
Right. And what about Senator Specter?
Well, it's very interesting. We've got that primary on Tuesday. May 18th is a big political day with primaries in Pennsylvania and Kentucky. I've got a column going up on the Daily Beast. He's facing a former admiral named Joe Sestak. And, of course, Arlen Specter switched parties last year after he faced a tough, close primary challenge from Pat Toomey. In Specter's case, he actually can fairly be called a dino, it seems to me. He is a Democrat in name only. And what's interesting about Sestak's challenge is that, unlike a lot of these challenges to incumbents from folks on the far right and far left, that Sestak's a retired admiral from a swing district outside Pennsylvania.
Outside Philadelphia.
Outside Philadelphia. Thank you. And that is really fueling this race, anger at Specter, anti-incumbent feeling, and really the momentum is no doubt shifted against Specter towards Sestak.
Momentum. I mean, the big public radio station in Philadelphia yesterday predicted on this program that Specter is toast.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've been hearing from the political reporters down there as well in the western part of the state.
It's been a very gritty set of commercials against each other as well.
Well, yeah, Specter's been running a lot of negative ads against Sestak. Sestak's perceived to be running a more positive campaign. The other thing I think is most interesting about this is that Sestak's running better general election numbers against Pat Toomey, the Club for Growth president and former congressman who's got the Republican line, than Specter. And that also points to something unusual in this cycle, which is that the challengers, the incumbent from within their own party, usually are more obscure. and more extreme. In Sestak's case, he's actually stacking up better against his likely opponent on the Republican side of the aisle.
What does this really mean, John, for Congress? Possible change of the majority in the House?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you look at the larger trend, Republicans have been winning the majority of the special elections we've had since the 2008 election or off-cycle elections. I mean, you know, beginning with, obviously, the governorships of Virginia, New Jersey, the Senator Scott Brown in Massachusetts. But what we're looking at is not only a shift of Congress towards the right, whether or not Republicans take the House and the Senate, or both hypothetically. I think what we're looking at is a more polarized Congress, more polarized parties, parties being pulled more to the extremes, and that's just a guarantee of more gridlock, toxic environment.
I don't know how it gets any more polarized than the health care vote, where it's strictly down party lines. I should tell you, by the way, I was at a lunch the other day. Nancy Pelosi said, "Yep, the Democrats will keep the majority in the House. Take it to the bank," she said.
Well, that's what she's paid to say.
But
anything else, we'd have an even deeper crisis economy.
But let's spin that argument out a little bit. I mean, if more obscure, closer to the radical base candidates are emerging from these primary fights, it does argue that maybe the incumbents have an advantage in the general election in November.
That's right. I think that's a very fair point, especially, for example, in Bennett's case. And one of the interesting things to look at this fall is to see whether voter anger at the overspending we've seen in Congress, at incumbency as a result of the economic problems we're in, if that ends up really creating momentum and continues to have independent voters swing towards the Republican Party, or whether if over the summer's political protests, if the anger at spending and incumbency is overshadowed by what I call Obama derangement syndrome, that could turn off many independent voters. And actually, remember, extremes are always ultimately their own side's worst enemy. So there's still we're going to have to see how this evolves over the course of the fall. What we do know is a deep anti-incumbency feeling, independent voters swinging from the Democrats to the Republicans, anger at spending in an economy that still is unsure for many folks, and the likelihood of more polarized parties. That all adds up for an even more toxic environment in the near future.
All right, John Avlon, author of Wingnuts, How the Lunatic Fringe is Hijacking America, columnist for the Daily Beast. We'll have you back in November to see if you're right.
They've all been very supportive, and I'm very grateful. It's like going to your own funeral but still being alive. And people say nice things about you now that it doesn't matter, and it's nice to hear the nice things.